Welcome back. Welcome back. Dr. Ken Berry here. I am happy to have you joining me today. I've got a special guest who's a very good friend of mine, and we're going to discuss some proper human diet principles and the fact that they apply to every single human being on the planet without exception. This is my good friend, Autumn, from Watch Autumn Keto. She's kind of taken over a good little chunk of YouTube real estate over the last several years and is helping people reverse chronic disease. She's not a doctor. She's not a dietitian, but she knows more about proper human nutrition than the average doctor or the average dietitian. And so let me introduce to you my good friend, Autumn. Hey, Autumn.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Berry?
I am doing great. It's such a pleasure to talk to you every single time I get the chance.
Same.
So how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's just a busy day for me. We're, you know, counting down less like 30 days maybe until Ketopalooza. So all of my days and nights are spent on making sure that that's going to be the best event that people come to all year.
So let's talk about Ketopalooza. Mm-hmm. And the syllable Lou has a special meaning. You've been doing this for how many years? Where are you doing it? And when's it coming up?
Yeah, so Ketopalooza, that's P-A-L-O-U-Z-A, as in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. So I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. I live here now. I absolutely love it. And so this is the third year we'll be doing Ketopalooza, and it's happening downtown in Louisville, and it is coming up at the end of this month, September 30th through October the 2nd. And so I honestly just started this as a meetup for my YouTube subscribers. And it's just like, hey, you guys, if I had a meetup just to hang out in real life, would you come to it? And they all said yes. And so the first year it started really small, around 30 some odd people. And then the second year it grew, and I was honestly expecting it to be a 1 year thing. They were like, we can't wait to come back next year. And I was like, next year? Like, that was the one time deal. But last year was the first year that you came, and we had about 100 people there. And then this year we're looking to grow even more. We're at 200 to 300 for this year. And so nice. The thing I love about Louisville, Kentucky, and knowing that you live in Nashville and you can really attest to this, is it's a lot more accessible than people might think, right? If you don't know where Louisville, Kentucky is, Google Maps it and you'll be surprised. Maybe you're within an 8-hour drive of it, right? And so I really love having this conference in Louisville because people get to celebrate the beautiful city and they get to come see their keto community online in real life and meet amazing people like yourself and all the other awesome speakers we have. But it's really closer than you think. So click the link in the description of this video. We would love to see you at Ketopalooza September 30th through October 2nd of this year.
Yeah, Nisha and I'll be there, and I'm pretty sure that Beckett and baby Bonnie Blue will also be there.
Look at that, the children!
Yeah. So we're excited to come. We're going to bring help. Don't worry. You got a babysitter. You can line up for us. But no. I'm excited. The first time we came to your event, I was blown away at just how much like a family reunion it felt.
Yeah. And that's what it really is. It's just a group of people that might have been, you know, commenting and chatting with each other online all year. This is their chance to come and to see each other in real life. And it is that reunion that I've been talking to you offline, you know, online for so long, but now we get to see each other. We get to hug each other. We get to just hang out and be our true selves, all here in this one place.
Absolutely. Where's everybody watching from? We've got almost 800. What city are you? What state, what country? How many of you guys are close enough to Louisville that you can make the drive or a quick flight and come see us? If you want to come to Ketopalooza, there's a link down in the show notes for this upcoming Ketopalooza. And there's also a great video kind of highlights of last year's Ketopalooza. And it really gives you a flavor of the caliber of people that are there and just a great time that I think was had by all.
I see these comments. I see Ohio. I see Indiana. I see other places in Kentucky. You better hop in that car and you better get on down here.
100%. It's a great time, I promise. And there's great food. Louisville, you know, it's not Tennessee, but they have pretty darn good food there in Louisville.
Yes, in our own right. You're right about that.
Yeah. And will there be any kind of remote option if people just cannot travel?
So this year, unfortunately, there's not going to be a full virtual version like there was last year, but we are going to do our best to be streaming live on Instagram, on Facebook, all of that general social media. But last year I had a full virtual option and it kind of removed me from the in-person option. And you know, this year I just want to keep it all about the family, all about everyone that can be in the room and connect with each other. But don't worry, with social media these days, somebody will be Instagram living this whole thing, right? So 100%. You can join us. Yeah.
100%. I love it. Autumn, let's talk about keto mm-hmm. in the Black community.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. And I want to say preemptively right off the bat, when I designed the concept and the principles of a proper human diet, that word is in there for a reason, because we're all the same exact species and we all deserve a diet that's very low in carbohydrates, that's very nutrient dense, that's ancestrally appropriate, and that's very uninflammatory. We all deserve that, but there's so many communities and enclaves where either they haven't heard about keto or all they've heard about keto is bad things, or they maybe can't afford what they think they can't afford keto. Mm-hmm. There's all these different things. And so talk to the Black community about keto.
Yeah. So the thing that I love about, you know, keto and the proper human diet, and is just what you said. It's physiologically, right? The Black body is the human body, right? The food that is designed to work in the human body and nourish the human body will inherently be good for Black people, right? For all people. And I think that is something important to differentiate, is that yes, physiologically, the human race, we're humans, right? But culturally, and specifically in America, there's a cultural Black experience that might, you know, preclude people from thinking like, oh, this isn't for me, or this wouldn't be healthy for me, or, oh, you know, red meat causes heart disease, and oh, diabetes runs in my family, so I can't be eating all that meat. Plant power, plant-based, you know, just so much misinformation and so much, you know, just wrong thinking about what is healthy. And don't get me wrong, that is from what we see in society. That's what the health, you know, big health has shown us, right? Like plant power, meatless Monday, things like that. And I feel like, unfortunately, we come, you know, Black people, we might come to health from such a reactionary standpoint, such as I've just been diagnosed with diabetes, or I've gotten morbidly obese, or, you know, they're telling me that they're going to have to chop my foot off, right? All things that have happened in my family, right? And then we try to figure out, okay, well, what do we need to change, right? And so I want to turn the tide of the entire cultural thinking of the Black community in America, that we can start now, and that the keto way of eating, the proper human diet, it's really the way that people are supposed to eat. And the standard American diet, whatever, and especially the standard American dieting diet, you know, these 100-calorie pizzas, these lean cuisines, or these smoothies and super cleanse, like all of that stuff, like none of that stuff matters, right? It's just the proper human diet. And so I'm trying to work my way into my family, like, you know, telling my mother, telling my aunt, telling my grandmother, but I'm also trying to tell, you know, the younger people, because it all starts about how you're raising your family and the nutritional habits that you're teaching your family. Like when I started keto in 2017 and understanding how food affects the body, I've come to realize like, oh, diabetes doesn't run in your family. Like poor eating habits run in our family, you know?
Absolutely.
It's not this foregone conclusion that eventually I'm going to get high blood pressure. Eventually I'm going to get diabetes. Eventually I'm going to have high cholesterol. Like I feel like growing up, that was just something that like we accepted was going to happen. And so that
part of the reason for that is, well, I think that's a multifactorial problem. Part of the reason is you're exactly right. Chronic diseases don't run in families. And when I say chronic diseases, I'm talking about type 2 diabetes, hypertension, metabolic syndrome, fatty liver, obesity. You might have a tiny 1-2% proclivity from your genetics to develop that. That's true. Tiny, minuscule. But it's your diet. It's the diet that your grandmother taught you to eat, the diet your mother taught you to eat, the diet your aunt, whoever taught you to eat. That's what's running in your family. Generational change always starts with the food that you eat and the food that you feed your babies. Mm. None of this stuff is predetermined. Now, it is absolutely true, at least in my clinical experience, Autumn, that Black people are much quicker to be affected metabolically by eating a high-carb, crappy diet. Mm. Kidney failure, type 2 diabetes, amputations, blindness, all these things seem to happen much quicker in Black patients than they do in white patients. You know, white person could weigh 500 pounds and have an A1C of 12 for 45 years and they're still hanging on. But I remember my years of training in Memphis at the VA hospital, and then my patients here in Camden, Tennessee. The Black people, man, that kidney would start to fail way sooner than I would expect. Their diabetes would just get crazy out of control. They would be much more likely to lose a toe or lose a foot. And so it's not your chances of developing these chronic diseases that runs in your family. That's coming from what you put on the table. But there are definitely, there, at least in my experience, an increased risk of the complications from metabolic syndrome and obesity and diabetes and hypertension in the Black community.
And, you know, and that's, I mean, that's amazing. I've never, you know, heard that. And that's even more of a reason to just, you know, to why it might be even more important. I would say it's important for all humans to eat a proper diet, right? It can never do you wrong by eating the proper human diet, but it's even more important for, you know, Black people, all colored people, you know, to take that much more of proactive preventative care of your health, right? Because, yeah. You know, I remember my grandfather died from complications of diabetes. I remember when he got his toes chopped off. I remember when he got his foot chopped off, right? Like, we just sit back and we just accept that these are things that are probably going to end up happening. And it's all a lie. It's all preventable.
Yeah. Black people make up 13.5% of the U.S. population. Another statistic I found was that 48% of African-American adults are obese. 48%. Wow. And so this is a huge problem in the Black community. And I don't know why that keto is not as popular in the Black community as you would think. Somebody with all these comorbidities and all these complications. And like you said, you saw your relative get toes chopped off, get feet chopped off. That would feel to me like a wake-up call. Like, what the hell? I need to do something right now. Well, talk to us about that.
So, you know, the thing is, I think it's like very multifaceted when it comes to Black culture, right? First of all, I feel like, and at least me, and here's the thing that I want to stress, right? I'm not speaking on behalf of all Black people. I'm speaking on behalf of my personal experience as a person growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, and my immediate family, right? And who's going to have a different Black experience from someone somewhere else. But the Black American experience, I feel, is, you know, quite sometimes wary of big medicine and in a way of not, you know, wary of diet culture, but also unfortunately putting too much faith and trust into these large organizations like the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes. Like, once the doctor tells you have diabetes, like, well, they gave me this list of food to eat, even though it's all wrong. But, you know, it's just that I'm just going to accept this and do what they tell me. And another thing is, because those associations still include grains, sweets, a little of this, just take your insulin and you can keep eating all the things you want to, right? Like, it's not the hardcore truth of, guess what, guys, all of these things that we've been eating our entire lives are not food, they're killing us, and you have to cut it out, right? I just think, unfortunately, the human experience is, I'm going to keep doing the thing that I've been doing that makes me feel good versus making a radical change to save my own life, you know? And that's where I've just seen the issue.
Do you feel like fast food companies target Black communities?
I feel like fast food in all sorts, and that's the thing, value, discount. Yes, there is some targeting of Black communities, of low income communities. You know, it's this, it's this notion that we've been advertised to, that you're too busy to worry about this. Let us do it for you, right? You're a busy, you know, working mom that has multiple jobs or whatever, you know, like, let us take care of it. Let us give them the nuggets. You just worry about that. When it's really like we've surrendered our health to these experts or these narratives or these advertising companies, right? And no one has taught us the truth. And so that's why I was so grateful to find the Proper Human Diet, because I found the truth. And now it is just like my job, my mission, my goal in life, just to help other people hear it. Now, if I were to go to McDonald's and eat fast food, I know what I'm doing. I at least, you know, because I'm not saying I never have fast food, or maybe I'll never, you know, eat a sugar or something here and there. Like I'm living real life, you know, but at least now I know what I'm doing and what is happening. And a lot of people, they'll just eat this way for decades and decades and decades and not realize that it has a direct, you know, cause of their illness. And that's just what I want to bring to light.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I agree with you. I think in large part, this is an economic issue. If you're poor enough and you live in a poor enough neighborhood, the only food you're going to have access to is the corner convenience store, or maybe even the liquor store. That's literally, that's the only thing within walking distance of your house or a short drive. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to a supermarket that's going to have really, you know, healthy food choices, it's going to be an hour drive from
it's far away. They close early. It's expensive. Like there are so many more barriers to just the basic, you know, the necessities of a high quality diet and, you know, good life that they're, you know, just hoops you have to get through just to get there. And that is just, you know, and that's the struggle and that's the shame. But, you know, I just, it's important to know that you're confronted with those issues and barriers so that you can, you know, have plans around them.
Yeah. And Paola, my good friend, says food deserts are very real. And I totally agree. And definitely there are, you know, many Black communities that are lower on the economic scale. They are food deserts or food apartheid. I actually have been hearing that term more lately.
Wow.
And I think that makes a lot of sense because it takes into, you know, context, the cultural and the geographic.
And the fact that it was all intentional, you know, and like, perhaps, and it was made perhaps. This way on purpose, you know, and so at a certain point, I understand, like, you know, and after a lifetime of struggle or a day of struggle, living the Black experience in America, maybe you just want to come home and you want to feel good and you want to eat the food that makes you feel good, right? And we're even more driven to that, like treat yourself, right? And I, don't get me wrong, I'm all for treating myself. But when it's decades upon decades of doing this to your body, causing the illness. And, you know, I said that to a friend of mine, you know, I was talking to her and her A1C is really high, over 10. And I was just like alarmed. I was like, we've got to fix this. We've got to get this down. And I told her, if somebody told you that the next time you take a bite of a donut, they're going to chop your foot off, you would never do it again. You would know, like, nope, that's not it. But unfortunately, that's not how it happens. It's decades and decades of those little bites that accumulate, right? And that is just the message that I'm trying to drive home to the people of my family and anybody that can watch me on the internet.
Yep. And it's very common for patients when they go to the doctor and they get that diagnosis of diabetes type 2 or hypertension or whatever. And they're like, here's a pill or two or three. And here's a handout from the American Diabetes Association of things you should eat. Very often, the only thing that's been checked for this obese type 2 diabetic person is a fasting blood sugar and a hemoglobin A1C. And more research is coming out. There's a brand new study out that makes very clear that it's not the obesity that's causing the heart disease. They are closely associated, but what's actually causing it is chronic inappropriate inflammation, which you can check with specific labs if the doctor orders the labs, and hyperinsulinemia, chronically elevated insulin. But if your doctor doesn't check a fasting insulin or a C-peptide, you're blind to that. And so is your doctor. You don't know. Your doctor doesn't know. All they know is your blood sugar's high. Here's some pills. Here's the ADA diet. But they don't know that it's not because you're obese that you're at increased risk of all these things. It's because you're hyperinsulinemic and you have chronic inappropriate inflammation. And that's the reason.
And that's probably why you're obese, is because of those things.
Right. Like, they are associated, but the obesity is not causing one or the other. Right. The other's not causing obesity. The thing that's causing all of it is the chronically overly processed high carbohydrate diet. But if you don't check the right labs, you're blind. You don't know. And that's why Kim Howard and I wrote this book. It's a little booklet, Common Sense Labs, that tells you So if you go to a doctor, if you're in an underserved area and you kind of got, you didn't get the cream of the crop doctor, you just got the doctor that's like, I can't find anything better, I guess I'll go to this neighborhood. You can actually take this. You can print these pages out and take it to your doctor. And when your doctor says, well, I don't even know what a fasting insulin, I don't know what that means, I wouldn't even know how to interpret that, you can say, well, here's the sheet that explains it, doctor. Here's the ICD-10 codes that you can actually get my insurance to pay for this test, doctor. Let me help you.
I did not know what a CRP test was until I was in the hospital having been diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is an inflammatory bowel disease, right? I didn't know anything about that till it was too late, till I was already in the hospital, till I had Crohn's disease, until they took this test and said, oh yes, the normal, you know, amount of inflammation in the human body, this test should come back between a 0 and a 1, and yours is at 24. And I was, what? Why am I just learning about this while I'm in the hospital?
Yep. And so when someone learns about a fasting insulin test or a C-peptide test or a CRP, they can actually look at their lab results and go, nope, that's not on here. And then they can call their doctor and say, hey, doc, there's new research now that shows that having high insulin level and high CRP is absolutely predictive of heart attack and stroke and other disastrous complications of metabolic disease. Why didn't you check those?
And unfortunately, it's due to a lot of it is insurance and the cost of these things. I remember recently going to the doctor asking for them to test my A1C, and my doctor said, no, I can't do that. I have no reason to, because you're of a certain age, you're of a certain weight. By all indicators, you don't need it tested. And I was like, no, but I want this information. And she asked, do you have a family history of diabetes? And I was like, why, actually, yes. Yes, I do. And she almost seemed happy because now she could order the test, right? Now she had a reason. And I was just thinking, it's a shame that we just can't get access to the information that we want to know for our own selves. It's being gatekept by all these rules that, you know, doctors have to jump through.
Yep. Kyla had a similar experience. She mentioned insulin resistance and HOMA IR score. Her doctor's like, I don't even know what that is. Right. And so that's why Common Sense Labs would come in so handy for so many people, is that you would know. And it's not your job to know. That's your doctor's job, 100%. But if your doctor doesn't know, guess whose health is going to suffer?
Exactly. That's I think that's the society we're moving into is now, especially with the people. I feel like the people that have found keto and the proper human diet and the younger generation of like advocating for ourselves, like not just trusting the word of these so-called experts or so-called people, just knowing, because if you look around, there's all the evidence shows clearly we're not doing something right. Obesity only is going up. Diabetes is only going up. Like clearly the approach that we've been taking and are currently taking is not right. So something has to be different. And I love that, you know, people that have come to the proper human diet and people that are, you know, younger people are just like, wait a minute, let's take a step back and ask the real questions here. So yes, like advocate for yourself.
Yeah. I think everyone deserves food justice, medical justice, food sovereignty, medical sovereignty. We deserve this. We are, we have inalienable rights that are given to us by the Creator. No, the government didn't give those to us. Those are ours by birthright. Mm-hmm. But if you don't exercise them, they don't matter. And so if you just take the pills and take the ADA handout and go home and just be like, I don't know, that's just, I guess that's what I'll do. It's not only your health that's going to suffer, but it's your family that's going to suffer along with you. Your brothers and sisters, your kids, your grandkids, they're the ones who are going to miss out.
And the worst part is, and the saddest part is when people think that they're doing it right because they're following what's on the pamphlet, right? But they don't know that the pamphlet's wrong. They don't know that the doctors are wrong. And so when people are truly trying their best, but they only get worse and worse and worse. And no one is really telling them the truth of like, this stuff will only make it worse. And that is just why my mission is enlightenment. My mission is just like, know the information. What you choose to do with it is up to you. Like, honestly, really. But if I just want people to know better, right? Yeah. And so that is, and that's what I love about your mission as well. It's like, we're just putting the information out there. It's up, you know, you do it with what you want. But I think for so long, you know, the Black community hasn't even had access to the right information, to right. the real information. Right. And so that's what I want to get out there.
Yeah. And part of the concept of sovereignty is being able to make your own choice. And so if I teach you all the principles of a proper human diet and you're like, yeah, I get it, but I just don't want to do that. I want to eat honey buns and ding dongs and drink Pepsi. Go at it. At least
you made
an informed decision.
Yep.
And that's all I want people to do is make an informed decision. But you cannot make an informed decision if you haven't been informed
exactly
with the correct information.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. Any examples in your life, in your family's life that you'd like to share?
Well, so, you know, when I started keto in 2017, it was because I was, you know, a little bit about my story, right? So I've been overweight my entire life. I've been standard American dieting my entire life, right?
And did being overweight, did being obese, did that run in your family, Autumn?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us are. And it's just, and I wasn't able to make my own food choices until I got to college. Right. And I was just talking when I, you know, preparing for this interview, I was talking to my mom. I was like, I remember what we ate at home every night. I lived in a multi-generational household, single parent. It was my twin sister and I, my mother and our grandmother, and we all lived together. And every night it was government food, and it was white bread, applesauce, corn and mashed potatoes. And then on the weekend we had a meat that was usually, you know, like a fried chicken of sorts, you know, we had roast, but meat was a weekend food, you know? And I remember growing up with like these jars of government peanut butter and boxed cereal, right? Like all of this stuff. And I didn't really get to make my own food choices until I got to college. Right. And so I remember, and that is probably contributed to my developing Crohn's disease, getting diagnosed in 2015. So it runs in my family. My father does have it, but it is avoidable with your diet, right? I was living in a chronically inflamed state for, at that point, decades already, you know? And so when I came to the proper human diet, to the keto diet in 2017, it was because I was standard American diet. You know, I was like Lean Cuisines, hot, you know, like all of these healthy choice. But I remember every time that I ate something, I felt horrible. Like it felt like someone was twisting my intestines in knots, right? And so one day I just sat down and Googled food to help you feel better, because that was the first time in my life that I ever associated what you eat to how you feel. I had always associated what you eat to how much you weigh, right? But I never realized that what you ate could directly result in how you feel. And when I Googled food to help you feel better, your videos, the first videos that popped up, talking about the anti-inflammatory benefits of the proper human diet. And I was just, and not to mention, people are losing hundreds of pounds, which is what I wanted to do anyway. Like, I just felt like, you know, someone had taken the cover off my eyes. And I'm like, this can't literally just be sitting here on the internet available to everyone to see. And this is the first time in my life I'm seeing it, right?
Yeah.
And so I just remember telling my family, telling my, you know, immediate family, and they're just like, that is extreme, right? It's funny thinking, you know, eating four eggs, you know, and, you know, beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, you know, eating all meat, you know, fat-based diet is extreme. However, we can wake up and have pancakes and syrup for breakfast and a hamburger and french fries for lunch and pasta for dinner. And that's, and a slice of cake for dessert. And that's not extreme, right? Like, it's so funny what we've been told what's extreme and what's normal. And so I've been trying to just preach this to my family for years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It's so funny how we look at different foods through different lenses. You say growing up that you would have a carb with a side of carbs and a side of carbs and a side of carbs.
It was all yellow. I remember it was all yellow and white. Like yeah. That was my plate. Rice-a-roni. Don't get me started. Like that is what I remember.
And so, but then if you had a piece of pie or cake after dessert, that was okay. But and if you wanted to have a second piece, that was just funny.
Yes.
Right. But then when, you know, when those of us who are carnivores by need, we have to have that to get our metabolism where we need it.
And that's dangerous.
That's dangerous. And that's weird. It's not funny if I take an extra ribeye, but it's funny if I take an extra piece of cake or pie. Odd, right?
Yes. And it's normal to want that. Oh, it's normal to indulge in that, you know, just being just what's normal and what's not. And And I remember a couple of years ago, I had gone to my mother's house for Mother's Day, and I saw a cousin of mine who I hadn't seen in months, and he had lost so much weight. And I was like, oh my gosh, you've lost a lot of weight. What's going on? And he goes, yeah, it's this diabetes medicine they got me on, you know? And I was just like, oh, I didn't know you were on diabetes medicine. I was like, are you okay with this amount of weight loss? I was like, you know, that can be rectified and controlled with how you eat, right? If you change your diet. And of course, we get the age-old response. I'm old and set in my ways. I'd rather just take this pill. You know, the doctor told me to take this pill and eat how I was eating. So that's what I'm going to do, right? Rather than change your habits, you'll just take the medicine and keep doing what you were doing.
Misha says food is killing people of color faster than anything else. It's time to talk about it. Agree or disagree?
I mean, agree, because it is the silent, continuous, everyday killer, right? Like you have to eat something every day, right? Unless we're fasting, you know? But like you have to eat every day. You're confronted with that necessity every day. And that means that people are making uninformed choices every day that accumulate in your body, right? They accumulate. And that is just what causes disease. And that is eliminating whole branches of families, you know, fathers not getting able to walk daughters down the aisle or see their grandchildren, right? Mothers and grandmothers that just aren't around to take care of your family, right? Sisters and just young people. I know several stories of people that were, in their 20s, morbidly obese people in their 20s that died from complications of diabetes, like in the Black community, right? Their 20s. It's taking everyone. And it's all because we don't know better, right? And when we do know better, maybe it's too late for us to do better, right? I'll say it's never too late, but at a certain point, like, how reasonably can you expect to shift someone's entire view about what they've been eating for 60 years, you know?
Yep. And somebody said, Dr. Ekberg, Stan Ekberg, he's great information on YouTube, that his quote today was insulin resistance is our biggest killer. And I agree with what he means by this. But what he should have said is hyperinsulinemia and chronic inappropriate inflammation. Those are the biggest killers. Those are the biggest causes of the disastrous complications from having chronic medical diseases like hypertension, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, obesity. That's what's killing you, is the hyperinsulinemia and the chronic inappropriate inflammation. And insulin resistance is a way we used to talk about it. That's more of a concept than it is an actual thing. But so many people in the Black community, I mean, you grew up thinking, you know, corn and potatoes and rice-a-roni, that's healthy. That's not food.
Yeah.
But so what can I do better to be heard by a wider audience of people who need this information? Because there are people out there literally on the verge of having body parts chopped off, mm-hmm. on the verge of going on dialysis, on the verge of literally going blind.
Yes.
What can I do better to reach at these people so that they can understand, oh, it's the food?
You know, Dr. Barry, I love hearing you as is and your message just as you give it. And I think one of the things that you can do is something that you're doing like right now is just elevating the voices of Black people, right? Because it is human nature to identify and listen to people that look like you and that have been in the same, like maybe had a same experience as you, right? Like if I go somewhere and I'm surrounded by a group of people that I don't know, if I find out that someone is from Kentucky, I'm gonna automatically like, oh, there's something in common there. Like we have something in common, right? And so it's just nature to listen to people that you perceive have gone through a similar experience. And so there aren't really highly elevated voices in the Black community. I mean, there are lots of doctors and people out there, and I think it's great. And so just by creating a platform for people to talk and to get in front of more audiences. But, you know, I'm also, what we also think about like Black culture, just like church culture, you know, like I want to go to the large Black churches in Louisville and be like, you know, this is where big groups of people are gathering. This is where I want to get this message in, you know, like where are the Black people and where are the Black people that need to hear this message? And go there, whether it's physically, whether it's virtually, you know, just somewhere to get the message directly to the people. But I think the biggest thing is that it coming from someone that they can trust, right? And unfortunately, you know, we tend, especially older people in general, like will just put their trust in the institutions that might have not always observed them, right? There's so many times where I've been trying to tell my family, the older members of my family, like, this is what you should be doing. This is healthy. This is what. But it's like, oh, but the doctor said this. Oh, but the commercial said this. Like, my grandmother literally said, everything's better with blue bonnet on it, right? And I was just like, how do I get through, you know? So it's really about
now I've got the jingle in my head all day.
She literally said that to me.
Everything is better with blue bonnet on it.
And so, you know, and then we think about, like, you know, even eating after church, like, and the church picnics. I mean, just everything, these staples in Black culture, we don't realize we associate them with happy memories. We associate them with community and camaraderie, which is excellent, but it's the food that just we need to rethink, right? It's the food that's killing us. And so I think elevating Black voices, going to Black people and wherever they are, and then just giving the information, right? Like we go to church on Sundays to get preached to. We're already getting preached to, right? It's like, oh, I don't need you to preach to me, but I need the information. Like people, just like you said, we deserve the information.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, let me say very clearly, I designed the principles of a proper human diet for every single human, every single Homo sapien on planet Earth. And if they're anywhere else, for them too. Because we all need the same low carbohydrate diet. We all need the same nutrient dense diet. We all need the same uninflammatory diet. But one thing, and the reason I wanted to have Autumn on today is because I feel like we're failing in reaching certain segments of the population, where somehow the message is not getting through that not only is this very important, but it literally works and it will literally ease the suffering in your family. Mm-hmm. Well, either you're suffering or the suffering of a loved one, this is the answer.
Yep.
But somehow it seems like there's walls up that we just, it's very difficult to get through, to get this message across to other people. And so any way I can reach out to any population, anywhere in the world, I'm 100% willing to do that, because the health of every person, regardless, if you've got the most melanin in your skin, you got the Guinness Book of World Records, you the blackest black there is, or you're the whitest, freckliest, redheaded Irish stepchild in the world, you deserve the benefits of a proper human diet. And I'll never stop saying that. And if I've offended anybody by saying that, then I apologize.
And a proper human diet will work for you. Like, oh, a proper human diet will work. And, you know, and that's just, and I just listened to so many things that, like, the Black community has been conditioned to believe, like, we're at a higher risk for, you know, diabetes, or, you know, we're more likely to have, you know, high blood pressure and things like that. And the point that you made, I think, is brilliant about how Black people tend to respond worse to bad food. Maybe that is the case. Or, you know, to not real food, chronic inflammation, all that stuff. But it's just about knowing that it is solely because of what we eat, right? It is solely because, I mean, yes, there are environmental factors that affect what we eat. But when it comes down to it, what goes into our mouths is causing all of this, right? And I just think that what we've been conditioned to believe about our health, and what Americans in general, also, you know, Black Americans too, have been conditioned to believe is normal, like to eat. What is normal to eat every day, right? Macaroni and cheese and all these comfort foods and stuff, like, we've just been conditioned to think that it's normal. And I just want to bring the message that it's not normal. And unfortunately, we have to think for ourselves, because society is not going to do that for us. They're going to continue to sell us whatever they can sell us. And yeah, it's going to taste good, because it's drugs, right? Then it lights up your brain. Like, yes, I'm not denying that, right? But we have to do better for ourselves, because no one is coming to save us but ourselves.
100%. And that goes for everybody. Ain't nobody cares but your mama, and she ain't here. I used to tell guys, I used to be the jail doctor here in Benton County, and they would ask for some this, that, or the other. I'm like, dude, ain't nobody wants to hear that but your mama, and she ain't here. And that's literally, once you turn of age, that's how it is for some people, even younger than that. You've got to seek out the information for yourself. You got to seek out the truth for yourself. You got to seek out what works for you, for yourself. And I can just hint, a proper human diet is that diet for you, regardless of where you came from, what color your skin is, anything else. You are human. a proper human diet is the diet that's going to give you the most optimal health that is possible for you at this season of your life. Autumn, tell everybody again about your upcoming get together in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes. So everyone, if you have not already, you know, after this is over, click the link in the description and come join us. I will be there. Dr. Barry and Nisha and so many other people are going to be there in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky at Ketopalooza. That's L-O-U as in Louisville, right? Come see us. Louisville, Kentucky is way nicer than you ever imagine it being.
Really,
and I can't wait to show it to you, right? So click on that link below. Come join us in Louisville. It is we're already in September. It is September 30th through October 2nd. It's the last weekend of this month. Tickets are still available. We do, cap the number of people that can attend because we want to keep that family feel. We want to make it feel like a family reunion where everyone truly gets to spend time with each other, right? So we have limited tickets, but they're still available. We still want you to come see us. And I would be so happy to see you. And I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks and at the end of the month.
Yes, absolutely. And I thank you so much for taking the time to do this today, Autumn. And all you guys watching, all 1,200 of you, if you know someone who this message, Autumn's message, would particularly resonate with them, there's a little button right down there that says share. Click that button. You can send it in an email, a direct message. You can share it on your favorite social media. There are people out there suffering daily. Chronic pain, chronic disability because of chronic medical conditions that are entirely preventable, first and foremost, but also entirely reversible if you catch them soon enough. So please share this message. Share Autumn's message. Autumn's YouTube link is down in the show notes. I know she's also on Instagram. She got a Twitter, but she hadn't been very active, but she's about to step that
don't
up.
Check that out. Really? Because I was like, don't check that thing. The Lord knows.
I need you fighting with me on Twitter. We got a war to win.
I will be co-signing and replying and adding everything. So let me re-download the Twitter app. Thank you.
I love it. Thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you so much, my good friend Autumn. Watch Autumn Keto. There's a link to all her stuff down in the show notes. Follow her wherever you love social media at. I'll see you soon, Autumn.
Bye. Good to see you.
See you later.